Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah.
Right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
202, you watch sports, sport clips cut hair. It's perfect, sport clips. It's good to be a guy. Third and final hour here on The Lowdown with Ken Rudolph, Jason Ross. My name is Damian Barley. We thank you so much for tuning in. Just wrapped up a fun interview with Doris Burke, who joined
us
just totally on a whim. We were having that conversation about Greg Popovich and his sideline antics, if you will. And I thought, well, no one knows more about Pop and doing those uncomfortable interviews and big moments than Doris does. So let's see what she has to say.
Well, how revealing was she? So, you know, we see the surface. We see the result. And she said she's had a couple that didn't even air. She's been near tears. And I think she is as good as anybody on TV at asking good questions. And she feels disrespected.
I loved how she was so candid, like so revealing. I just loved everything that she said. I mean, obviously, we're huge fans of her work and the way that she has built herself into this point. It wasn't given to her. She had to go out there and prove it on a daily basis. And she's proved it, not just basketball.
Right.
She's done men's football, too, guys. Mm-hmm. She can do everything.
She's really good.
And so I just had to tell my wife that I'm leaving and go ahead and just pack my stuff up and leave it outside.
Yep.
I'm going to Doris.
You're running away with DB?
Yeah, I love Doris. She's
amazing. One of those, that story she told, the story she told when we led the interview off about Pop and how they didn't air the interview because it got so bad.
Yeah.
That is her lowest point. She has told that story to me on numerous occasions, like just over dinner, just hanging out, just having casual conversation about basketball. She's told that story, and I've heard her tell it to other people. That situation mortified her.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll change my answer on our three of the hard way question. And you know what? I just won't ask anybody any questions.
Well, you know what? As we wrapped that up and we started talking about the actual series, the upcoming series with Oklahoma City and Golden State, seeing the way Oklahoma City has played, seeing the way Golden State has played all year, let me rephrase that, seeing the way Oklahoma City has played lately against San Antonio and the way Golden State has played all year, it's interesting now that we're looking at it like, what can they get out of that group against Golden State?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we've all acknowledged, and Doris acknowledged this as much, is they can't do it the same. It can't be the same.
Right.
Like Cantor and Adams probably won't work unless, as Ken, you pointed out earlier, and Doris mentioned in that last segment, they're going to have to get offensive rebounds at like a record pace.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what they do better than anybody.
Yeah. And one of the matchups, the historic one that we all talk about, the best game of the year, where Curry hits the 40-foot bomb to win it, they were plus 30 in rebounds, the Thunder were. So, I mean, they had
you can lose the rebounding battle and win the game.
Well, the Warriors did, but, I mean, it also took an incredible shot by Curry to do it.
Exactly. So, if you're Coach Donovan, you say, hey, look, last time we got these guys by banging the boards, and they had to get a lucky shot to beat us. Let's stick with that same approach. Go out there and do the same thing. And if they hit four half-court shots to beat us, then so be it.
Yeah.
And I realized yesterday's game was a blowout, and they were up by as many as 28. They had, you remember, a lot of those games with the crazy officiating at the end. Score was 92-91 on a number of occasions. So they were below 100. They had 91 points starting the fourth quarter yesterday. They're going to have to be a lot closer to that than a 90-point final score against Golden State.
Yeah, which is what Portland was.
Which is dangerous, though. And
it
Portland,
is.
As entertaining as the games were, and as close as it was, what, 125-121 was the final game. Obviously, there was the overtime run with the Steph Curry 17 points in overtime. They still lost the series 4-1.
Yeah.
So if your game plan is to go in and outshoot Golden State, it's probably not the best game plan. But you're going to have to shoot a relatively high percentage. Because 91, 92, 93, 99, probably 100 points isn't going to cut it. I'm looking at some of these winning scores earlier this year. The game that you talked about, Jason, with the Steph Curry pull-up at half court, it was 121-118.
Wow.
In OT, yeah.
That's what it's going to have to be.
Is it, though? Because I'm wondering, and obviously there must be a reason why teams have not tried to use the same strategy, but I felt like, you know, I guess I still kind of romanticize the whole concept of last year's NBA Finals with LeBron coming in there with a bunch of bench players and pretty much willing those guys in the first three games to handling the Warriors. But they did it by being extremely physical. They were pushing and holding and denying them space and not letting them do their thing. Now, I'm not quite sure if other teams don't have the personnel to try that tactic, or the Warriors have done a great job of countering that type of approach to them. I don't see any other teams really trying to slow them down in that manner. Are they just so good you can't slow them down? Those illegal high screens that they set, you just can't, because they're all illegal. They're all illegal.
Yes.
So you just can't do anything? Is that what it is? Because I'm wondering why no team has tried to just slow them down. I guess it's just not possible. Easier said than done. Everyone else just tries to outshoot them.
Right.
Which is what Portland tried to do, and obviously that's a horrible idea.
They played enough times this year. They have to have a formulated approach to it.
Yeah, it was, you gave that score. It was 116-108, 121-118, and 121-106. Durant has been a beast in all the games. Curry has two. The one that's been a little bit off against them, which I think will be a key series, is the guy we always talk about, is Westbrook. And the natural thought is, what is he going to do against Curry? And is Curry going to guard him? Is Clay going to guard him? Other guys, but Westbrook has to have a big series.
And who's going to guard Durant? Who has the length? Do they put Green on him?
Well, that's why. I would imagine they put Draymond Green on Kevin Durant.
He's had big games.
That would be interesting because if they neutralize Durant and then put all the pressure on Westbrook, that's going to be a problem for Oklahoma City.
And you have to figure if Draymond Green is going to guard Kevin Durant, someone's got to guard Steven Adams. Who's that going to be? Is it going to be, Clay? Is it going to be Harrison Barnes? Like, if they're in that small lineup, who guards Steven Adams and what prevents the Oklahoma City Thunder from going inside constantly?
Right, but there's also that mentality, the same mentality that OKC, they said after the second game that Aldridge went off, they said one man's not going to beat you. Mm-hmm. So maybe Golden State's like, you know what, Westbrook, do whatever you want because we don't think you can beat us. We're going to cover everybody else. We're going to make sure Steven Adams can't get to the rack. We're going to make sure Durant is neutralized. Good luck. You do what you do. And we think that in the end, you're going to make a mistake.
Tex Nation's thinking Steven Adams and Draymond Green. I guess if you're just matching size, I guess, or position, that's what you have to do.
Well, and it also makes you wonder. I know the Warriors can go small, but will they stick with that? Will they play Bogut and Green and more their traditional lineup more often? I don't know. And then you're playing Ibaka and Adams.
I feel like if they stay small and whether it's Clay or Barnes or whoever has to guard Adams, they're just conceding. They're playing the game of two-pointers versus three-pointers, which the three-pointers will always win, no matter what percentage you're shooting.
Yeah.
You're shooting a high percentage on both ends, probably the three-pointers are going to win.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how Billy Donovan adjusts from the San Antonio Spurs, which is a very different type of basketball game, to the Golden State Warriors.
And at the same time, why are we not posing the same question to Steve Kerr? He has to deal with a team that's coming in, that's riding high with their confidence. They're looking for some vengeance. And will he have to make an adjustment?
Adjustment to what, though?
That's a good question.
Because the Spurs play a different type of basketball than Golden State does.
Absolutely.
So they were just locked into, we could argue, Portland plays closer to a style like Golden State than closer to a style like San Antonio. Is that fair?
I think the result is closer, but I don't know if the style is the same because they don't run all of the high screens. They don't run, the ball movement is not nearly
But they rely a lot on their guards.
Yes, they rely on the guards, absolutely.
And therefore, generally, you could get a score run up because, again, in the league today, you're shooting a lot of threes.
Yeah.
I would say Portland might be closer to Oklahoma City.
Fair.
Right?
So I go back to the original question.
Okay.
What does Steve Kerr have to adjust?
Aha.
He's coming off the series with Portland. He would probably have to make some type of adjustment if they were playing San Antonio.
Right.
Again, San Antonio, different.
Yep.
I don't know how different Oklahoma City is. How would you even classify the way Oklahoma City
plays?
Yeah,
I guess the only, and it's subtle, the difference of where a lot of the damage that was done against the Warriors was mainly the guards, Lillard and McCollum. Other guys helped, obviously. Now you're shifting it a little bit where you've got a guard and a perimeter guy in Durant. So, and they haven't had an answer for Durant, but they've still won all three games.
It's 2:11, time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737.
And we want to remind you to join Nate Goodyear and Katie Christensen for the grand opening of the new Ram Truck Center at Hoblet Dodge. That's tomorrow, 11 to 2, 1990 Hayes Lane in Woodland. All inventory on sale during the grand opening includes Dodge Chargers, Jeeps, Chryslers, you name it. Plus, win tickets to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Enjoy a live band, a dunk tank, and lots of fun. Check them out at HobletDodge.com.
What's next for the Sacramento Kings? We'll let you know next. Third and final hour rolling along here. Hope you're enjoying your Friday. We thank you so much for tuning in. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. This is The Lowdown. Been talking a lot about the Western Conference Finals coming up. There's a game tonight, by the way.
Huh?
Who's playing?
What? It's the Raptors and the Heat in the game six of one of the more amazing for a series that's gone, what, three overtime games?
Yep.
Not the most exciting. Can you see? You think Miami might steal one? We go to game seven.
Yep.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Just to prolong this series?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys have to watch this.
Oh, you're going to watch it. We will make you watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch. I want to see if Dwayne Wade goes for 40 to keep Miami in it, that's good television for the most part.
Really? So you'll watch this, but you wouldn't watch Game 7 of the Sharks and Predators? But you'll watch this?
I'd absolutely watch Game 7 of the Sharks and Predators if it didn't quickly escalate to a blowout. I'm more inclined to watch a basketball blow, right?
Me too.
They were up 28 last night. Okay. Oklahoma City was up 28. I'm more likely to tune that in and see it because I know, and we all know, basketball teams make runs. How big will the run be? Will Oklahoma City panic? Of course I'll watch that. In hockey, if you're up 3-0, I'm pretty much feeling like it's over.
Wow.
How many games end in 1-0, 2-0, 1-1, 2-1, things like that?
Right.
You get into 3-0, I'm confident that lead is insurmountable.
Unless that was game set or to win the cup and they're at San Jose. Like, I want to see
absolutely. You
know. But if it's 3-4-0, it's like, okay, it's all right. Good for them, though. I would have missed the goalie breaking his stick, though.
Pekka Rinne went nuts.
Yeah.
We mentioned talking about the Sacramento Kings. Jason, we discussed this a little bit yesterday after the show, how they got their front office in place. Mm-hmm. They've hired the coach. Combine's going on. Lottery is on Tuesday.
Yeah, big day.
Next big day. And then the draft. What is the next move the Sacramento Kings need to make? Or, reword the question a little bit, what is the next move you would like to see the Sacramento Kings make?
Yeah, I guess they're differently. Because I think the first one legitimately, you know, the lottery is just positioning. But I think that's a big day, honestly, for the Kings and even some other teams. Lakers have some stake in this.
Lakers Boston. Have a huge stake in this.
Yeah, so if the let's just pretend it's going to end at 8. That's where it's scheduled to. There'll probably be 8. Mm-hmm. Odds favorite to be 8. That doesn't sway things much. But if you get into the top 3, it does. If you move back, it hurts you. If other teams get tweaked around, I think it might change a team's desire to maybe make a trade. So I think you have to watch that closely, but assuming that it doesn't change much, then it's about evaluation and drafting right, whatever spot they get, and drafting and then finding the gem that they can, hopefully in free agency, and deciding on Rondo too.
Right. I'm a little bit different on the draft situation because it doesn't appear to be that deep this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that this particular franchise needs another young player to have to develop. If they're in win now mode, if they're in change things right now mode, I feel like it'd be much better if the Sacramento Kings organization would trade that pick to try to get something that you can use right now. And then, as you mentioned, focus on July 1st, getting a top-notch free agent. If that is, you know, pursuing Rondo, or if you guys like Mike Conley, a guy whose best year is 17 points and 7 assists, but you get the great defense. And he doesn't have a lot of turnovers.
Don't do that.
What?
That was a passive-aggressive remark about it. Oh, if his best year is 17, that was totally passive-aggressive.
No,
stop. Yes,
but
it was.
I'm saying, but if you get the 17
You want Rondo here, Because he led the league in assists.
If you get 17-7 from your point guard and solid defense like you guys are saying, then, yeah, you would obviously take that. He's just not.
Can you acknowledge that was a passive-aggressive remark, please?
Okay, maybe.
All right.
He's just not exciting to me, and Rondo's exciting, and I feel like whatever
It didn't issues, amount to wins. That's my problem. It didn't amount to wins.
I don't put that all on him, although I do. He is responsible as the point guard. You're right.
You know I was about
I know
to lay into
go
you.
To the Westbrook thing.
Thank you.
But I really feel like another year, I think he would really have a chance to continue to help develop, and they just have to get someone to help him defensively because he's obviously not going to do it. He's not going to do it.
That doesn't work. How does that work then? How do you just acknowledge that one of the five guys on the floor isn't going to play defense?
I think a lot of teams have guards that don't play defense.
That's very true. Point guard is the least.
Yes. So just go ahead and adjust to that. You understand what you're getting if he's not playing defense. Now you just adjust accordingly and try to find, you know, that wing defender that can also shoot. That's where your free agency comes in. That'll be able to help. You've already got your big man down there, Willie Cauley-Stein, your weak side shot blocking help. You just go ahead and adjust to get those 11 and 12 assists a game.
There's a term I feel like has been used for some reason a lot more this year than perhaps recent years, and that's the term hockey assist.
Mm-hmm.
The pass before the pass that gets the assist.
Yeah.
Do you think that's more valuable than a Rajon Rondo assist? Because I feel like Rondo, I don't feel like, I know, it's a fact. He led the league in assist.
Right.
And it amounted to absolutely nothing for this team.
And he does take responsibility for that, but there were so many other issues with this team that I can't put all of it on him.
Yeah, and the hockey assist just in general means the ball's moving.
I mean, right.
So it went from me to you to Kent. So we're moving it around. Everybody's touching it. That's good. That's healthy for a good offense.
Yeah, how come they don't have that assist in basketball?
I don't know.
The pass that leads to the pass that leads to the bucket.
Never have. I don't know.
Because that's important.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like a rebound in the outlet pass, and then that leads to somebody else who then gets the bucket.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge.
Especially when teams are whipping it around the perimeter when you go, okay, this guy's got the good shot. I'm going to do one more. Oh, that's even better. And that just it just looks good.
You talked about not wanting to develop a player, Ken.
Correct.
Would you rather trade the draft pick? Or would
Absolutely.
You, yes.
I'd rather trade that draft pick to get something that's going to develop right, something that's proven, for lack of a better term. That's something that you can see, okay, I know what that entity is right there.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what I'm getting back, as opposed to, and I don't
hoping.
Have a problem with Ben McLemore because I give young players a lot of leeway, but obviously other folks are saying he's not developing at the rate that the franchise wanted him to. But you don't want to go out and get another one of those.
Right. This will be his fourth year.
Yeah.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Eric, we appreciate your call. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it sounds like some of you guys are on board with what stats actually mean. Stats do lie. And you guys have mentioned over and over about the Kings, you know, having the pace and leading the team of the NBA and like pace and one of the top teams in scoring. You're going to have a lot more assists when you move the ball up and down the court a lot, just like in a Chip Kelly type offense, not specifically his offense, but any high powered offense that runs a lot of plays quickly, you're going to have more yards despite maybe not having as good offensive players because you run more plays. So leading the league in assists to me doesn't mean much when, you know, Deuce used to always say he always was the selfish one that would look to get an assist for his own stats rather than get a layup, which is part of it. But also, again, the pace, when you maybe have 15 to 16 more possessions per game, you don't even have to be scoring as well, be as good a passer. You're going to have more opportunities. So the opportunities alone lead to him leading the league in assists. And Damian's number, he's hit the nail on the head, really. It means absolutely nothing. They didn't look that great for us. Split second there back in like maybe January, February. It looked like they could have got the 8th seed, but then they fell off the face of the map. It's not a good year for the Kings. I don't think Rajon Rondo is worth the money. And remember, I feel like the Kings were bidding against themselves last year even. Who else wanted Rondo? Nobody wanted him. If he was such a great assist guy, why is it the Kings overpaid against themselves for Rondo when nobody really wanted him?
That's a great point, Eric. Thanks, as always, for the call. We love hearing from you. That is a good point. I don't remember who the Kings were bidding against last year. However, I will say this. Last year was different because he was coming off of that mess in Dallas.
Yes.
His free agency this year is going to be substantially different than his free agency last year.
Sure.
Because he proved he can make the pass. He proved he can get the assist. He proved he can run a high-scoring team. Did it amount to wins? No, but they're not going to blame that on Rondo. They're going to blame it on Sacramento Kings organization. Mm-hmm. So someone will offer him a giant contract that I don't think the Kings should even get into that war.
Yeah, I mean, and agents, you know, they'll do it too. They will put his numbers up. So let's say they were a 34-win team and he had a terrible year. Well, that's really – he had – individually, his year was good. He's going to get paid.
There'll be a PowerPoint presentation for Rajon Rondo, and the number of wins that the Sacramento Kings had won't be a part of it.
Yeah, conveniently left off.
The number of assists that he had.
Yeah. Near triple-doubles, triple-doubles.
If you have a big man on your team, the number of assists that he had to DeMarcus Cousins exclusively will be included in that presentation.
Speaking of the big man, does it matter what he says? Because it's obvious that DeMarcus loves Rondo.
It can't.
Well, no, we're not talking about a coach.
No.
We're talking about a player that you want to play with.
It can't.
Why not? You're talking about
the amount of money it's going to cost him. The amount of money is going to cost the organization to keep Rondo. You can't – I just don't think you can consult players in this situation.
Okay.
For the same reason you can't consult players regarding a coach. What if it goes wrong?
But this is your franchise star, and he had the best year of his career, and he loves the point guard that you brought in. He loves him, and the point guard loves him back.
That's cute.
It's chemistry.
It's so darling.
They were great together on the court.
Good.
Isn't that what you want?
They worked great together on the floor for a team that won 33 games.
It's all about progress.
How many games?
Right?
I say 30. Is it 33 or 34?
No, it's 33. Yeah. 33. But aren't we talking about progress? Just like Coach Carl said before he left, we made progress.
So next year they win 37, and we're good with that.
I'm not saying we're good with that, but it's still progress.
I'm not okay. No, I don't think you consult him regarding who you keep, who you sign. You go after Harrison Barnes. You go after Anderson. Whatever you do, you don't consult him.
And then
because the fact is, he may not be here in the middle of February.
That's a possibility. Now you have to start all over again, and the momentum that you built with this offensive side of the ball of the court, you have to start all over.
You've already started over again because the coach who had that offensive momentum is gone.
Okay,
so you're starting something new.
But you still have the same players who have the same chemistry. That makes it easier to start that new thing.
KC, California, we see you guys on hold. We'll continue this when we come back on The Lowdown. It's 2:33, time for a retirement checkup call. David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Headed down the home stretch here on this Friday. We thank you so very much for tuning in. Got into this conversation about the Sacramento Kings and with the front office being set, with the head coach being hired. Draft lottery is on Tuesday. The draft not too far away. Start a free agency. July, new league year starts in July. What should be next for the Sacramento Kings? And it seems like a lot of the talk revolves around the point guard.
Absolutely.
Rajon Rondo. You got to make a decision, and you got to make that decision now. And funny enough, when new head coach Dave Yeager was on KHDK, he spoke specifically about one of the point guards, but it wasn't Rondo.
You know, playmaking and shooting are at a premium in this league. And, you know, that's where I'm looking for Ben McLemore to step up his game. It's important. Your form, as I said before, you've got a shooter in Bellinelli. Derek Collison, you know, kind of prove that he belongs as a starter in this league. And I think it's going to be a big year for him, too, and looking forward to having him. So,
anything to read into that? Could be as simple as Rondo's a free agent. He's technically not on the roster, so maybe you don't mention him. But he spoke specifically about DC and him deserving starter minutes.
And Collison's so interesting because I think the easy – well, it's a common thought, and I'm not really thinking I'm far off of what people say, that he looks more like a backup point guard. But, man, every time he does something, he's productive. He's good. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to say he should be your backup point guard. But if you don't have a better choice, I'd be fine if he was your starting point guard as long as you upgraded everywhere else.
That might work out. Although, once again, I think it comes down to context and situation. He just seems like he's so much more effective because of his speed coming off of the bench.
Could be true.
He just adds another dynamic that any coach would love to have, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the bench, and this guy kicks it up a notch.
Yeah.
It changes everything about what we're doing, and you have to adjust to us now. As opposed to him being the starter, you know what's coming at you. You prepare for it. And the times when he was a starter about a year and a half ago, he's effective, but not nearly as effective as he was coming off the bench.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Oz, we appreciate your call. What do you got for us on this Friday?
Well, let me go this way. Stats lie. I wouldn't re-sign Rondo. Leaving the league and assist and not averaging very many points isn't a recipe for success, especially when you have an off-guard that doesn't score. You know, you look around the league, you know, Steph averages 30 and still 6.5. Draymond averages 8 assists. Even Westbrook scores, 27, and averages, you know, 8.5 assists. So I don't think you re-sign Rondo. I think you trade Rudy Gay. I'm even open to trading DeMarcus. I think they need to take a blueprint of Minnesota, Milwaukee, and Portland, and Utah, and bring in a bunch of young guys that are hungry, that want to play, and build from there. And quit trying to just go solve your problem by getting vets that are has-beens.
Appreciate the call, Oss.
That's a lot of moves. Yeah.
He's doing a whole roster revamp right there.
But here's my question. It sounds to me like fans are letting their personal opinion of a player and his personality affect their assessment of his skills on the court. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, sure, absolutely.
You know, obviously he did some things this year that none of us are proud of, and I'm sure he's not proud of them as well. Two situations in particular. But he still ran the offense very well, exceptionally well. And so I feel like people are making judgments based upon their personal opinion of his personality.
John Kitna once led the NFL in passing, passing yards.
John Kitna was a really good backup quarterback, in my opinion.
John Kitna was a starter who led the league in passing yards for the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
How bad were the Detroit Lions when he led as a starting quarterback? But the point is, whether you're a quarterback leading with passing yards or you're the point guard leading the league in assist, if it doesn't translate to wins, it doesn't matter.
But we're also talking about a Detroit Lions team that was horrible. They were horrible when he was quarterback. So that, once again, we're talking about, is that all his fault? The team around him's horrible. For Rondo, the team around him was dysfunctional.
So I can't, I'm sorry.
Well, no, go ahead.
Make the argument that the Sacramento Kings are that horrible. They just, for some reason, don't play well together. And what is it? Is it the way Carl played Bellinelli? I would argue that was a huge problem.
Yes.
A huge problem.
He's acknowledged that as well. Yes.
Well, it's too late now.
Well, I'm just,
too late to it. Why did it take him in 82 games or 100 and some odd games to acknowledge he was playing? Oh, I guess he only played for one season. Sorry. So why did it take him 82 games to figure that out? Why didn't he figure that out at the All-Star break?
May go back to a statement someone made about a coach. He's a my way or the highway kind of coach, George Karl.
It was the highway.
It was obvious.
Because he blew it.
Yeah.
Go watch Bellinelli in Pop's uniform and see what he does.
It's also a completely different system, completely different offense, completely different team.
But a player doing the same exact thing over and over and over again. But you wanted to revamp the player, and it didn't work.
What do you guys say about, if we flip the thought a little bit on Rondo, we're evaluating, should the Kings do it? What do you think he should do? Because you're always as good as your options. Last year, it seemed like the option was Sacramento and not much else. I think there'll be more takers, but if there are equal offers in Sacramento, and we've heard the Knicks before as a rumor. All right, two equivalent teams, two non-playoff teams. I don't know what's better. Let's say the money's the same. What's the better move for some? I mean, if you're going to a playoff team, that's a harder sell to keep him in Sacramento. But if you're Rondo,
then you're just trying to get in his head.
Yeah.
What matters more? Being in New York?
Yeah.
Because that's what it comes down to.
Right.
Who do you see a brighter future? Would you rather pay with DeMarcus, who may not be here next year, may not be here past February, or may be here forever?
Yeah, we don't know.
Or would you rather play a couple of years with Carmelo, perhaps? If you trade Carmelo, you're probably going to get a boatload of players for him, or at least young players. Or Kristaps Porzingis, who's there as well.
Yeah.
I have no idea who their freaking head coach is, but still.
That could affect his decision as well. But you're right. What's the best thing for him?
And, I don't know.
I can't make a life decision for the man, but obviously I feel like there are a couple of reasons why he should stay here. The resurgence happened for him here. This is the team that said, we know you're still good, and we're going to overpay you to bring you here to prove it again that you're still good. He did that. He proved that he could still run a team, run a high-powered offense. He connected with a young man who was looking for a point guard to connect with again, because Isaiah Thomas was kind of DeMarcus's guy, but he really needed somebody else to connect with. And here's the most important part of their relationship, in my opinion. Every team needs an identity. And I really feel like, whether those two guys know it or not, they were creating an identity for this team. And if they do it the right way, the identity they were creating for the Sacramento Kings is, we're going to be nasty. Nasty. We're going to do some things you might not like, but there are nasty things that are going to lead to an identity that says that this team is going to play hard. Now, you have to get everybody to buy into that.
Yeah.
But I really felt like those two guys were trying to establish, we have attitude, we don't care what you think, we're going to find a way to be nasty and beat you. And if they get everyone to buy in, if that's what they want to put out there, then you've gone a long way towards identifying your team.
Dude, I disagree. This isn't NWA. This isn't 1980s hip-hop music. You can establish an attitude. Great. That's great. You know why? You know why the Detroit Pistons established an attitude and it worked?
Why?
Because they won. No one cares if you have an attitude if you lose. Well, you're just a bunch of guys with bad attitudes.
You have to develop it, and then you cultivate it, and then you turn it into something, right? Detroit did that. They had to develop it, cultivate it, and then it became something. It doesn't happen overnight. You make some progress last year. You see that. You say, okay, do we want to go in that direction? Because it's right there for them to build upon.
I'll pose this to both of you. If you had to make a decision, same amount of dollars, both guys said yes. Rondo or Mike Conley? Mike Conley has injury issues. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe. Rondo sucked a year ago. Hmm. Do you lean that he's going to be more like he was last year and hope he doesn't wind up as the Dallas guy or the last year in Boston guy? Or do you gamble on Mike Conley?
Conley. Easily.
Rondo. All day. He's already proven he can win.
Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mike Conley 10 times out of 10.
One of them's proven they can win a championship. The other one is not.
Yes. One of them had Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce.
But go back and look
at Doc Rivers.
Go look at his stats. He was still key in those series. He was
and Kendrick
huge.
Perkins.
He was huge. Yeah, stop.
They lost Kendrick championships Perkins. Without Kendrick Perkins. We all know this is fact. Yeah. They were winning every series that they lost after the championship. It was either Kevin Garnett that was out or it was Kendrick Perkins that was out.
Okay.
It was never Rondo.
You're right. But Rondo still played very well. He wasn't just standing around. He was key.
And one coming up next.
Welcome back.
There's excitement in the air.
The Lowdown continues. And one. Three stories you haven't paid attention to, but you should now. And one.
It's 2:48, time for retirement checkup. Call David Hegger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Gentlemen, I will lead us off. We talked recently about Space Jam 2 starring LeBron James. Well, Joe Picca, the director of the Michael Jordan, the original Space Jam, says, don't do it. That movie is doomed. When we did Space Jam, there was a perfect storm of players and ex-players available. Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing. They all had a persona that complemented the film. There are none like that now. He says, don't do it.
Wow. You're denying a whole nother generation of their Space Jam.
We all saw Space Jam, yeah?
I own it. I love it. My son goes crazy. Loves Space Jam.
Would you be excited for part two?
Nope.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right, then. I'm with Joe. Perhaps this is a bad idea. Yeah. What do you got for us, Ken?
Football season is still, about 110 days away?
No one's counting.
But before that, in about 102 days, will be the release of the greatest video game in the history of the world, Madden 17. And so it's always the athlete on the cover that is subject to the curse, right?
Yeah, right.
So this year it is Rob Gronkowski, who is the cover athlete for Madden 17. And he is embracing it. And he says there's not going to be a curse, and he has some reasons why.
I feel like it's the future now. It's definitely reversed itself from back in the days. But you got to look at the players that were on it recently. You had Odell, who had an unbelievable year last year. You had Richard Sherman, who went to the Pro Bowl the year he was on it. Calvin Johnson, who broke the receiving record when he was on the cover. So it's the present now. It's the future of the cover. So I feel like I've already went through all my injuries at that time. So I feel like I'm good. I feel like everything's going to go smoothly.
Let's just keep that sound handy.
Yeah.
When we get into September, October, November. And by the way, anybody who's playing Madden against me this year, you're not allowed to use the Patriots. Can't use the athlete whose team's on the cover. That's the rule we have when we play Madden. Yeah. Because that person's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
They're on the cover. That's the rule.
I love that he thinks all of his injuries are over just because. Yeah, no, they're over. I got it. They're done. Like,
I'm good now.
I'm injured all the time, man. Like, what more could possibly happen
to
me?
It's not a violent sport anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
He's good. I'm going to go with football as well, too, because we're still, like Ken said, several months away from the start of football. But rookies are reporting rookie camps going on. But the one new thing about San Francisco, they got a new head coach, Chip Kelly. And early on, the reports are everybody seems to like his offense. Well, they're running shorts and shoulder pads, you know, not even going through pads and all that stuff. But we still have no idea who's going to be the quarterback. Apparently, Chip Kelly, though, said this. He has no idea who will be the 49ers quarterback, but he does love Blaine Gabbert's athleticism. Now, of course, we know Kaepernick is still hurt, isn't totally involved as of yet, and wouldn't be. But I don't know. I don't know if that's an early lean from the coach as who he could possibly see as the starting quarterback going forward. Watch out for Gabbert.
It's May.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
But I think it does set it up for a really interesting quarterback challenge there in the Bay Area, because once Cap gets up to speed and gets up healthy and gets 100% clearance from the doctors, those two are going to go at it. We'll see what happens.
Bring it on. Do you think it's a real quarterback challenge? Do you think it's an open competition for those two?
I actually do.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not a...
No one's harboring any ill feelings towards what's gone on the last few weeks, months.
As far as decision makers on that or the actual quarterbacks?
Both.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone, I don't think Gabbert has an
issue. Gabbert, of course. Yeah, shouldn't. Gabbert's out. I'm speaking more specifically about Kaepernick, Chip Kelly, Trent Baalke.
Why would Kaepernick be upset? They gave him his $12.9 million. They didn't trade him.
He wanted to be traded.
He wanted to be traded, but they said, no, we want you.
Yeah.
Isn't that what every player
wants? No, they didn't say. No,
well,
that's
I just
not
think
what they
were
said.
Willing to, but there was not a great deal out there, and I think
they weren't
going to
just dump him. Yeah, right. They weren't just going to dump him, and I still don't think they're going to dump him because, what was it, 12 and a half? If they dump him and someone signs him for $1 million, they have to pay the other 11 and a half.
Exactly.
You might as well keep him.
Right. And you have to think that once everything is good to go and he's 100% healthy, fresh, clean slate. Yeah. Let's start all over again and see what happens. Got a new coach, new system. Give him a chance.
Fun day. Talked a lot about the Oklahoma City Thunder, the San Antonio Spurs. We'll try to wrap things up with a couple of these phone calls. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Casey, are you still there? Ah, we lost him. He's been on hold a really long time. Sorry. Let's see if California, did you stick around?
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, you guys were talking about shooting yesterday and LeBron James. And look, when you have the greatest shooter, I want to get to Sacramento, too, if I have a minute to.
Wait a minute, man. Hold on. Shooter. Didn't you do this yesterday? Didn't you talk to us about how good Steph is?
No, because I want to comment on what you said. I couldn't call back.
Okay.
When you have the greatest shooter, okay, you have to attach a weight to that. Okay, what you guys are doing is that you're marginalizing Steph Curry as just a shooter, and that's wrong-headed in the first place. Now, Sacramento, Rondo has options. His number one option, I would think, would be the New York Knicks, okay, because they need a point guard, and they can pay him. And off the court, the guy would make boatloads of money. He's used to the media because he played at Boston. He's used to the East Coast media. So that's not a negative for Rondo for going to New York. Sacramento should have went to him and locked him up before. Anybody that thinks that the choice for Sacramento is between Rondo and Connolly, no, that's wrong with it. We don't have a chance to get him. The choice is between Rondo and a rookie point guard and D.C., Darren Collison. And his history is that when he starts, he'll break down with injury at some point during the season.
California, I'm so sorry we had to do that to you. We really do have to wrap things up here. And sometimes California doesn't take a breath for a good couple of minutes.
Hey, join Sports 1140 for UFC 198. That's Saturday, a draft inside Arena Softball, 8288 Industrial Avenue in Roseville. There'll be great food and drink specials. For more information, visit arenasoftball.com.
I love this text. So Gronk says there won't be a curse. Name the player that says he will be cursed.
Good point.
Right.
Want to thank Doris Burke for joining us today. Be sure to tune in Monday. Jabari Davis of Basketball Insiders will be with us, and Golden State Warrior beat writer Marcus Thompson will join us. Matt George, thank you for all your work. Chris, thank you for what you did this week. For Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. The Grant Napier Show is coming up next.